I had a portion of a song come to me, How Firm a Foundation. It says, How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. The next part is what is impressed upon my mind. It says, What more can he say than to you he hath said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. I'm thinking about over in Revelations where it speaks about us not taking away from the word or adding to it. And I believe that God has been faithful to every soul. He's been faithful to us. He's been faithful to the church of God. And I believe he has sent his word on every line. That he is a God that has never failed, and he will not fail now. I remember hearing a minister years ago. This minister is dead and gone now. But he felt like he was preached out. That's what he said. He said, I think I've just preached everything there is to preach. And maybe other ministers feel that way even today. But this minister said that the Lord spoke to him and said, I have thousands of messages I haven't given yet. Well, that's been many years ago, and there's been thousands of messages probably preached since that time. And we can look on Church of God preaching site, and we can find just about every title and every category, probably used numerous, many, many times. So here we are again. Another Sunday morning, and we're waiting on the Spirit of the Lord. We've come here not to be entertained. I believe not one of us came this morning thinking, I want to be entertained. We don't have a band that we can conjure up some kind of an emotion. If we come, we're coming with a hunger and a thirst for something from above. Yes. Every message, I have stated this years ago, I stated this. But I believe it is more true today. But the Lord spoke it to me a number of years ago. And he said, the services are stacking up. And he said, the messages are stacking up. Oh, I said that to the congregation for a number of services. And then it dwindled away. And we quit saying it. But I want to tell you something. I believe it's still true that the messages are stacking up. Even if it's the same thing that we've heard over and over. God is still wanting to use very familiar messages to remind us. To stir up our way of remembrance, the scripture says. There's something that I have said also over and over, and I'm going to say it again this morning. God will have a tested and a tried people. Let's not forget that. We have been, of all people, most blessed in the world. Our nation has been a blessed nation, founded upon the very biblical principles of the Word of God. Those men that set up our nation had a fear of God that we see lacking in our world today. But nonetheless, God honored it. He honored the foundation of this nation, and therefore this nation has been blessed. And the people of this nation, whether poor or rich, have been blessed. The scripture has told us to pray that we might live a quiet and a peaceful life. And that prayer has been prayed numerous times in this congregation, and we can all say we've had a quiet and a peaceful life. We haven't faced martyrdom for our faith. We have not faced there has been civil war, but in our generations, we have not had to have that. I want to tell you something. You've got to be more on your guard when there is peace. When there is a time of living a quiet life. Yet we pray for that, and God wants to give us that. But let us avail ourselves of the Word of God more than ever. Amen. And let us be very cautious and watchful and prayerful, more than if we were under the threat. Stir ourselves this morning. I have proclaimed numerous times to you in this congregation that my calling is to the saints, and my burden down through the years has been to warn the righteous that they sin not. We don't want to get complacent and have this quiet and peaceful life and lose our soul. So that's just a little exhortation that I have before we get into the scriptures, and we need you to pray that the Lord will anoint his word. I'm telling you, and you know it, if the Lord does not bless his word, it won't be blessed. I do not have the power or ability to make the word of God alive or precious, but God does. So, I'm sorry to cough in front of you, but I'm leaning on the Lord. I'm thinking of the scriptures and how that the scriptures, even though it does tell us that we're going to be tried and tested, the scriptures open up to us over and over how what a mighty God we serve. There, it is not lacking in what the word tells us that God can and will do for his people and for all of mankind. It's there for us to read and allow it to work in us, to work. And what does it need to work? It needs to work on our faith. Amen. It needs to work with our confidence and our hope and our peace. And those things that God wants to uphold you and me in the very midst. We sang the song about in a time of trouble, we're going to have trouble. It's part of life. And we need the inspiration of His Word being hid in our hearts, that we can go through those things in a right way and know how to fight the battles. And I think of the majority of the Bible actually speaks more about, and it may not say it this way all the way through, but it's enough that we can relate to it. It's the Bible speaks more to let us know the way is called straight. S-T-R-A-I-T. It's not just a straight line, but it's something that represents what God plans and orders and ordains for His people to be tried and tested. This word straight it means to cramp. And then in parentheses it said literally and figuratively, be in a tight place. It means adversity, affliction, besieged or encompassed. It means to bind. It can mean distress, oppress, or shut up unto trouble. That's the word, what that word straight. And we know what it represents, because Jesus plainly left us the information that the way to heaven was a straight and a narrow way that would lead to life, He said. He compared it then to the opposite way, the broad way that leads to destruction. He exhorted for us to choose the straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. Oh, it's straight also. But He wants us to willingly and have no other expectations. Don't expect the straight and narrow way to be strewn with flowers. That's one of the things that are sometimes said. Man does not like to suffer. Man does not like trouble. So the biblical word we're going to focus on a little bit, because it's all the way through the Bible. It's all the way through the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. And not only are we informed of this way, but God gives us weapons and tools all along the way. He gives us weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And these weapons and these tools that He gives us, we will be using over and over. Just as we might feel preached out, we may feel like we've preached this over and over. Well, we're going to be reaching out and taking hold of the weapons over and over. And we know that the children of Israel, in their battles, which are an example to teach us something of our spiritual battles, those were literal battles. God fought the battle for them over and over. He provided weapons that were, I'm going to say, non-conventional. He would win the battles for them using a lantern and a horn or a trumpet, and it confused the enemy. Oh, he did it many ways. God wants to fight our battles for us. And if you will seek him, he'll teach you how to lay hold on the weapons that are effective and the tools. And it will be found in the Word of God. You're not going to be able to go out there and to Mardell's. And I see this book, and the title of it attracts my attention. And it's full of some, and I'm not saying they don't have some good books. But I want to tell you, your real effective weapons will be in the Word of God. Amen. Rely on the Word of God. So we have a title of our thought this morning is The Power of Stillness. Did you know stillness is a weapon? Can be a tool, and it works. With certain battles, it works. I've just paraphrased and written this down out of the Exodus 14 to get our thought this morning. So this is taken from the 14th chapter of Exodus with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And I want to tell you, in all of the works that God did for the children of Israel, there's lessons for you and me to learn, to read them and apply them to our walk with the Lord, our time of battle. He wants to speak to us in all of these things. And it says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they encamp by the sea. Now, what do you get out of that? Well, I'll tell you what we need to see is that God is the one that led them. We know how he led them and freed them from bondage out of Egypt. They were a crippled people. They had been in bondage and slavery for so long, they didn't know how to be, how shall I say, like other people. They had never really had freedom. Suddenly, they are free. And they don't know how to handle freedom. And they don't really have faith yet. They have been accustomed to false gods in Egypt. They were taught the one true God. And there were many of them that believed. But the majority of them were crippled. Crippled spiritually and emotionally and even probably physically. And so God set them free from that bondage. And what did he do? He set a pillar of fire at night and a cloud in the day. And that was to give them a little visual sight. Now, we preach on faith and we say, it's not by sight, it's not by feelings. God didn't require that of them immediately. He was compassionate and merciful, and he provided something that they would know his presence was there. They could look at it. And it comforted them, and it probably calmed their spirits, because this is a new journey. They've never been outside of Egypt. They didn't know what it was like. So this first part here says, God told them where to go and camp. And he said, I will harden Pharaoh that he shall follow after them. What is he doing there? He's telling them what's going to happen. Don't you know, if have you ever been down in prayer and just seeking the Lord, and you need direction, and you just want, oh, there's been many times I have been down when I could get down, and I'd say, oh, Lord, I wish you were sitting in that chair right there, and that you could just talk to me like a man, and that you could just tell me this, this, and this. Well, don't you know they wanted to be told what to do? And so he prepared them. He said, now Pharaoh and his army is going to come after you. So this was told to the king that they had left, and he made ready his chariot, and he took with him 600 chariots, and Pharaoh pursued after the children of Israel, just like God said. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And they cried out to the Lord. Now, I haven't put everything that they cried out to the Lord, because I'm telling you, some of their prayer was negative. It would have been so much better. And this is a lesson for us. When you're facing your Red Sea, do you think you're going to face your Red Sea? Do you think you're going to be afraid? You're going to feel fear and distress? Admit it. If the children of Israel had cried out to the Lord and said, oh God, I am so afraid. We are fearful here. But look what you have done. Remind God what he has done for you. Look back. And remember what he's done for you, and say, Lord, I am afraid, but I know what you can do. And if they had done that, it would have been far better. But they didn't. They were so afraid, and they cried out in some negative terms. And they even said to Moses, or even to the Lord, wherefore hast thou dealt with us? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians. It had been better to have left us under bondage. Does that sound like a good place? And here God has a plan for them that is so good. And so he says, and it says, Moses said, because God said for him to say it, God can give you words also in your battles that will help you overcome your anxieties. Thank the Lord. And this is what the Lord told Moses to say to the people. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew you today. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak. He said, now, I want you to say this also unto the children of Israel. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And there's nowhere to go forward. They're caught in between a rock and a hard place. And not only are the Egyptians coming up behind, but on one side is a huge mountain passes, and on the other side, they can't cross over that mountain range. And before them is the Red Sea. And so where do you go? I want to tell you something, and I may have told you this before. I was with Velda when she went. She had had the cancer for some time, and it was coming to the place that she needed disability, and she had to go to a doctor to get the approval. I was with her. And so this woman doctor examined Velda and came back into the room, and she said, in tears, she said, why didn't you come to me sooner? Velda's answer still rings in my mind. She said, I knew this was my Red Sea. This is where I am. I cannot go anywhere. I'm here. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord, why did you bring me here? Why did you bring us? When we face our Red Seas, let us not question God. Let's trust. Let's trust. Let's believe that He is going to take us through some way. So it goes on and it says, and thus the Lord saved, well, I've got to back up, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on both right hand and the left, and the Egyptians pursued after them, and the Lord troubled the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again. And the sea returned to his strength, and there remained not so much as one of them. God is in control. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did. Have you seen some great works that the Lord has done in the past? Do you remember them? The reference in the side of my Bible at this place, there's a title there, and it says Divine Control. Was God in control? Yes, He was. How often do we hear those words? Oh, I say we hear it fairly often. God is in control. We must believe it. That He is not going to take you and me into any place that He cannot deliver. Do you believe it? So we have... We're going to call this the crisis of the Red Sea. You know what a crisis is? Have you ever felt like you got in a crisis in your life? You didn't know how it was going to turn out, and you didn't know which way to turn? A crisis is a time of intense difficulty or trouble. They were in a crisis. And we can then also consider how God delivered them. You know, that's the good part about reading the Word of God. We see the end of it. Of every situation that happened and was recorded, and the great men of faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they all came to their end. And we know what that end was. And so we know the end of this crisis at the Red Sea. Now, I think I've said this here too. We don't know our end yet. But we have to believe that God will take us to the end of it. Whatever it is. Whatever we need. He will take us to the end of it. Or the scripture calls it, He will bring us out into a wealthy place. And how many times has that been said in your hearing? More times than we can count. And here we are, we're saying it again. Do we need to hear it again? I think we do. So, I want to speak just a little bit about... how God ordered this whole event. God had a special purpose. Does God have a purpose in your life? Do you feel his purpose being manifested day by day? Oh, there are some of you that are young. You feel like you have a life ahead of you. You're looking at it with anticipation. And those of us that are older, once was where you are. And we know and understand, don't we? Don't we? We were once young. Oh, you don't look like you were ever young. Yes, we were once young. Yeah. I've had young people come to my house and see my wedding pictures, and they'll say, "Is that really you?" Yeah, we change over the years. Life causes changes to come into our body, our minds, our spirit, our life. We call it maturity, don't we? We learn these lessons. We go through the things that young people go through, and we anticipate life, and we anticipate having a family, and all of these things are common and real. And then we get on the other side of it, and we look old. But did you know we still have expectations? Our expectations are very different than when we were young. We're not looking for the good times all the time. We're looking for the good times in the Lord more. We're looking at that time when the Lord comes and blesses us and touches us and proves himself to us, and it's over and over.
Yes, thank the Lord.
But did you know that in all of our walk with the Lord, we have to learn the lesson of the crisis of the Red Sea? They had to learn something about standing still when they didn't feel like standing still. They were in a great distress. They believed they would probably die right there. Oh, I want to tell you, God wants us to see the salvation of the Lord. And you have to be standing still to see it. You have to. There's a scripture in Psalms 46 and 10, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's how we get acquainted with God, is when we get quiet ourselves. Now, there is a Hebrew definition for the word still that I want to share with you, because it's not just totally quiet. Oh, you can force yourself to get quiet, can't you? Can't you do your best to just get real quiet and you'll say, "Well, I'm standing still"? It's a little deeper than that. The definition is to stop activity. Well, what does that mean? Well, most of the time you and I are trying to figure out how to get out of where we are. And most of the time we're crying out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, get me out of this. Deliver me." It's to stop activity. It's to let go. It's to release to God. Now, we know what the scripture says about casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. I want to tell you, I've heard that all my life, and you have too. And there is a secret of success in doing that. But there is something more when we release our will, our desires. "Deliver me." "No, Lord, have your will. Have your way. I release this. I put this in your hands." And so that is the real meaning of the Hebrew term of standing still. And I have this devotion. I'm going to be closing with this. I'm not going to read all of the devotion, but I'm going to give you the essence of it. And it's in Streams in the Desert, and I have used it periodically, occasionally, down through the years, because I've come to these places also, and you will too. But this is just, in essence, what the devotion is speaking about. And because when we find ourselves in these places, we're tempted to think we know what is best. It's a strong temptation to try to get out of trouble. It's just a strong temptation. And I've been there. But we need to consider God's purpose and His plan and where He has led me. He leads us into these places. And He wants us to stay in those places until He says it is enough. Till we have learned the lessons. Until we have gained, you know, we use the term victory. And I think that we use it lightly. Victory represents really hard battles in the Old Testament. Loss of life. Many things, disaster. And they called it victory. But it wasn't them gaining the victory. It was God. And when God gives us the victory, we can't claim I got it myself. Have you ever felt like you gained the victory because you stayed on your knees long enough? Oh, we might do a lot of things trying to gain the victory. But God is desiring for us to come out on victory side. So, when we're tempted to do something, when it seems as though standing still is a waste of time. You ever felt that way? Oh, we may not have logically thought that, but we may have been trying to do something to help the situation. Can I give you one of my temptations? And this is not to cast a reflection on anybody here, because God has led me into places where He said, I wanted you to put your trust in me and in me alone. But my flesh wants to reach out and call somebody and weep out my woes in their arms and express my burden. And God says, no. I've told you all of going through a hard place one time. God was testing me and trying me, and nobody called me. The other ministers didn't call to encourage me. And I was bemoaning the fact. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, I told them not to. I wanted you to get it from me and from me alone. There's going to be times, yes, we do share with one another. The song says we need each other, brethren. We do. I need your prayers. I need your love. I need what you can offer to brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I want to offer the same to you. But God is wanting to be the one that parts your Red Sea. And you know nobody else had a part in it. So when those times comes that you're tempted to turn to something else or someone else. And I want to tell you, I need you all. I'm not discounting that in the least. I'm also realizing that in those places, don't you know the devil plays a part? You think you're going to be in your battles without anything that the enemy says anything to you about it? Because we are geared, I'm going to say geared, to think of actions of faith, of walking by faith, not by sight, not by feeling, of those kind of thoughts. Don't you know the enemy could use those thoughts? And it was in this way, and this is in that devotional. If the whispering tongue, if the Red Sea is before you, just march into it and expect a miracle. That sounds so honorable, doesn't it? But if it's not ordered of God, if His timing is not right, don't pursue to walk into your Red Sea until it is spread open. Oh, even though you can look at part of the Bible and the old and the children of Israel, and there were places where He said, this is not going to open up until you set your foot in there. But in our battles, listen to the still small voice. He's the one that wants to bring you through your Red Sea. So faith heeds the voice of God. And so this is part of that devotional. I'll just read this and we're through. Stand still. Keep the posture of an upright man. Why would they have that in this devotional? Because we can get bowed over. We can get down under. The scripture says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. So the exhortation here is keep the posture of an upright man, ready for action, expecting further orders. From who? From God Himself. Patiently awaiting the still small voice. Get acquainted with the still small voice. Don't be one that has to have the loud shout. Listen to the still small voice that shall say to you as distinctly as Moses said to the people, go forward. There'll be a time that the word of the Lord will come to you and you will know your Red Sea has opened up and it's time to go forward. Pray for me.